This is Russ Dizdar, Book of Acts. We're in chapter 4. This is audio 48, page 52 primarily. And just think through the earlier part of this chapter, the threats. The most powerful people gathered the disciples, and obviously they were hearing about this major miracle, this 40-year-old man. Now, he's over 40 years old. And so this incredible miracle occurs, and I want you to hear me again. I believe that every single miracle, supernatural thing, sign, wonder, angels being sent, everything you see in the book of Acts is applied today. Because Jesus, he did not start off the church in power only to come to the end of the age and have it simply live in spiritual powerlessness in words and so forth. No, God is the God who's the same daily. Jesus being the same yesterday, today, forever. So I'm going to encourage you today that you can go to Galatians 3. You can take a look again. I'm doing a major study myself right now. Every single miracle, every single sign, every single wonder, every supernatural thing God did from Genesis 3 on, I'm going through the scriptures on all of this. And I want you to know this. I believe, and I believe the book of Acts points to that. That's why I call the book of Acts the field manual for the end of days. And that's important to me because Satan is pulling out everything. Counterfeit signs, wonders, miracles. The Antichrist is coming. The false prophet's coming. They're going to open the abyss. They're going to do everything. They're going to use everything. Don't think for a moment that God's going to just give a little bit of his grace, a little bit of his power, and have us down here overwhelmed by darkness. I believe that the broadest powers of hell, of Satan and demons, than ever in collective history are here and will be astonishing the world. Look at the false prophet, Revelation 13, and all the counterfeit, satanic, empowered miracles that will be done. Well, I'm saying this. As of today, in Christ, there are segments of the church, number one, that are very inexperienced when it comes to the power of God. Jesus talked to the religious cult leaders of the day, the Pharisees and so forth. You don't know the word of God nor the power of God. Now, remember the beginning of the book of Acts, all that Jesus began to, you know, his words and his works. The word of God and the power of God. The word of God and the works of God. That demonstration. And I believe that all believers are to be experienced. If you're born of the Spirit of God, you're experienced in the power of God, salvation. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God into salvation. Power dwells in you. You'll be clothed with power from on high to be witnesses. We live as, listen, the most supernaturally empowered, enabled, enhanced, backed people on the planet. And I don't care if all of hell, every single thing hell has is coming up and will be engaging the world to, and their target, Revelation 12, is the sum total of humanity. We need to know that. That's a threat. As we read here in verse 21, there's threatening. So there is the prophecy tells us of the threats of the dark side and all that they're going to do. Well, you know, that's all true, but every single thing they have, all that they have collectively, never negates the presence of God, the power of God, the signs of God, the miracle of God, the salvation of God, never negates the authority, the armor of God, all that you have, the word of God. So I'm going to say again, I don't care if it's the Antichrist and everything else in full satanic bloom in the world that we're living in. It does not negate, and we have authority over all the power of the enemy, over all, as Jesus said, the power of the enemy, Luke 10:19, and the armor of God and so forth. So I want us to understand that Satan's going to bring out counterfeit signs, wonders, and miracles. And here's my concern as a Christian, as a pastor, as a leader for years, decades, that much of the church is inexperienced. Listen, a local church, if 95% or more are not soul winners, they don't know of any direct answers to prayer. They don't understand the authority or don't know about the authority Jesus gave them over the demonic realm or even to expect God to do miracles or signs or wonders, as we're going to see in this chapter. There's an expectation. And I'm going to say right now, I believe the Western Church has been stripped, demythologizing theology. That's where, you know, taking out miracles and just kind of declaring them as myths. And that whole outside, see, the script, you know, the scripture in our lives as believers are never to be defined by the lost world and by limited science and the rest of that. We're defined by a living God, a living Savior, and His presence and power and the sum total of Scripture. And so, very important as we get to this audio 48 on your workbook page 52, and this is chapter 4, and verse 21. Now, after they've been engaged, after they've been challenged concerning how did this miracle occur? Now, again, you look at chapter 1, that Jesus began to demonstrate infallible proofs, many infallible proofs that He is alive. I could say 45 years plus after getting saved, I have infallible proof in my life of Jesus and everything He is, everything He said, all that He does. There's so many answers to prayer. People saved, people healed, demons kicked out of lives, and the providence of God and so forth over all these years. I'm going to give you something to think about. Mark this down. Signs, wonders, and astonishing supernatural acts today can come from God today. They can be faked and manufactured by people that are just trying to con people. That's number two. That's flesh and human and so forth. And then thirdly, they can be counterfeited, 2 Thessalonians 2. Satan is going to be, in the development of the Antichrist, in the end of the age, Satan will be coming to bring, pseudo is the Greek word, meaning false. They are counterfeit to the real, signs, wonders, and miracles. Can Satan and demons bring healings and signs and wonders and supernatural things? And pretty much I've seen Satan, demons, counterfeit all the giftings, the gift of tongues, and you know, there's all kinds of clairvoyance, telekinesis, supernatural powers, remote viewers and astral projection, summoning demons. That entire side is real. It's vital for Western Christians and all believers to know the scriptures define reality. The reality of God and you know, Satan is real. Satan and the demons and the fallen angels, they're just as real as God. They're just limited, liars, false, and in deadly opposition to God and to you as a believer. So God unveils to us that Satan will be bringing counterfeit signs, wonders, and miracles. Now, the response to the weak church, the unexperienced church, you know, the inexperienced church, is to back away and shut the doors and say, okay, God doesn't work that way here. We're just going to be here in a Bible study and just share words, and that's it. Maybe a little bit, you know, maybe 10 seconds of prayer. Well, again, being reduced out of inexperience, out of immaturity, and out of the threat of the dark side. Don't let the dark side, listen, don't let the dark side define what you believe in as far as the Word of God, your Savior, and what ministry, and what can happen. In the book of Acts, God sends an angel to get Peter out of jail. I mean, that includes putting the guards to sleep, the chains falling off of him, and the iron-barred gate opening all by itself. Well, I think by the hand of either an angel or just the hand of God. And so all these, you have an angelic visitation. You have Philip being transported from one place to another place in Acts 8. You have, in this chapter, you're going to see the power of God comes in such a way as they pray that, and I believe God delighted so much in their prayers, so much power came, the building, the physical building shook. So I'm going to say two things. I believe the church for decades and decades and decades in the West has been living kind of on a fourth of the power. Not on all the cylinders, if you understand power engines. And, you know, I had a Chevelle 396 when I was in high school, and you know, this big, massive engine, and if any cylinder, think in terms of any kind of motor running on just a few cylinders, on just partial power, reserve power. So we're not here to run on reserve power. We're here to be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. Ephesians 3, we read about that. We're to be clothed in power. We have 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, divine power inside of us, the new nature, and power to come out of us. Ephesians 3, 20, now unto him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. And I think it's vital for us, I mean, absolutely vital for us, when we think in terms of if we're wanting to see the greatest revivals, the greatest works, millions saved, God intervening in our lives. So I'm going to tell you right now, the book of Psalms, we don't just read that as a history. We read what God did in the life of believers, how God intervened, and even in Israel, and the astounding, powerful things God has done. So nothing is off the table for we as believers here now. And I'm going to tell you right now, being towards the very, very end of history, very, very end of the end of days, per se, that we need to understand that miracles, signs, wonders, even extraordinary, coming from God, providence, and all the gifting. So you're going to hear this entire course. You're going to be getting a lot of information on all of this, so that you can live this daily. We're not coming before the God that's reluctant and saying, well, I've got all this power, all these miracles, all this providence, all these signs, but that was for the past. I want you to kind of just live down there in a fourth of the power. Live on one cylinder. Now, that's how the devil would define it. That's how the fallen, lost world, and anytime the church wants to appease the fallen, lost world, it dumbs itself down and quenches the Holy Spirit, puts out the fire of the Spirit, 1 Thessalonians 5, right? So, if you're looking at Acts 4, verse 21, when they had further threatened them, referring to those, the guys in power, these are the ones in absolute power in the area, now they're threatened. Not if you've ever been threatened. And I want to say that, you know, if you're in Africa and other places of the world, in the Middle East, and you're in Pakistan or you're in Syria, you know, there's times you're really threatened. There's Satanists today that will threaten you. There are those that are highly engaged in demons and witches and so forth. They'll threaten you with spells and hexes. There are those that are very strong atheists and whatever else, and family members even. And there's people that threaten us. And that's the intimidation ultimately. Romans chapter 8, the sin nature in people are hostile to God. So I expect, my dad threatened me when I got saved. He cussed me out. He did all kinds of things. You have to decide whether you're going to back down. You've got people who can threaten you. I'm not going to like you any longer if you don't. I had one of my friends that got saved. His wife said, and threatened him, if you don't turn back and deny all this, I'm going to divorce you. My friend held up the Bible and said, if you are making me choose between this, God, my salvation, and he held his Bible up, and you, he says, I want God, I want salvation, I want my Bible, I choose God. Praise God. The good news is she got saved about a week later, and they've lived for over 40-some years. I've known them. They're strong in the Lord, serving the Lord, and tremendous. But you have to, you know, kingdom first. Jesus is first. But that's not going to negate the fact that there are individuals in their philosophies, in their hedonism, drunkenness, and all the rest of that. There'll be bikers, there'll be businessmen, there'll be politicians. All kinds of people will threaten people in places of power. Shut that up. Don't talk that. Don't bring that Jesus in here. And that's going to happen. And you've got to, like they had to, and they made the choice, you know, no, we're going to obey God. That's the bottom line. We're going to stand in obedience to God. Now, I'm going to tell you right now that you can, in this audio 48 and also in 49, do a background reading of Nehemiah chapters 1, 2, 3, 4, and specifically 4. Chapter 4 in Nehemiah is where that believer in the Old Testament day, they were going to do a great work for God in that day. They're doing a great work for God, and they were extremely threatened, and there was an immediate response. So the principle here is when there is radical threatening against you to shut you down, you don't just be silent and go away. No, you make radical response. Nehemiah chapter 4, Nehemiah as a leader made immediate radical response to the dire threats that were around them. We make you don't have to go in a cave somewhere. Now that's, we're going to talk about different things in the book of Acts when they put Paul through a in a basket through a wall, when they're, you know, they even went from town to town looking for him. So there can be threats in your neighborhood, in the gangs. There's all kinds of threats. There's all kinds. And sometimes lost individuals with that sin nature that's hostile to God threaten you. Demonized people threaten you. Groups of people threaten you. Political powers in the nation you live threaten you. Well, here's what it says. These individuals that opposed God and they opposed the living Christ, the salvation of Christ, they threatened the believers. They threatened them. Then they let them go, finding no way to punish them. Now they wanted to, and here's why. Because of the people. The people saw the miracle. Now here's the problem. These who are in kind of a cult-oriented, you know, rejecting God, rejecting Christ, they had their own religious cult, truly a cult set up, and they embraced that and held positions of power. But because this miracle came in that nobody could deny, and I'm setting you up to say this, that when it comes to healings, miracles, signs, wonders, and all of that, they're undeniable in Scripture. I don't have to go around, you know, I've had miracles, I've had healing, I've seen healing in front of me. Obviously, I've engaged demons and cast demons out of people, demons, like just like Mark 5, when demons speak back in their names and all that. And I've seen the power of God, I've seen the authority of the Lord. I've been in situations where you're threatened not to speak, threatened not to come certain places, and basically told, even in the context of Christianity, if you've got fleshly, I mean, really backslidden, those carnal believers will sometimes want to put down spirit-filled believers. And spirit-filled believers loving Jesus and wanting to go forward and in the Word, you know, carnal believers are in misery, and sometimes misery loves company. They want to bring others down. Your job is to stand strong with the Lord, stay spirit-filled, and regardless what a backslidden brother or sister says, no matter what they try to do or try to draw you into, your job is to rebuke, exhort them, and pull them back into a right relationship. So obedience to the Lord. John 15, just obey Jesus. You stay in his love. You grow strong. You James 1, you're blessed in that obedience. 1 John chapter 2, when you're staying in obedience to the Word, you overcome the evil one. You get strong. You get knowledgeable. And the Spirit of God and the Spirit of God and the Word of God work inseparably, and both in the context of dunamis, the power of God. You know what dunamis is? The power of God? It's the literal presence of God exerted, manifesting in power. That happened when he came into your life. That's his. He's indwelling you with dunamis power. You're clothed and filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And there's no greater power. I don't care if it's a sorcerer, a magus, you know, any kind of Satanist or whatever. They have demons. They have power demons. I don't care if it's Satan back then. There's nothing out there greater. That's why we read in 1 John 4, right? Megos, huge, massive, overwhelming. Greater is he who's in you, the one who's in you, than he, the Satan or the demons, who's in the world. So of all the cult systems and counterfeit signs, wonders, and all the demonic stuff, we stand in the Word of God and the power of God as the people of God. And that's very important for us. Because in this world, and more so probably than ever, you're going to get threatened. There's going to be times you get threatened to shut up, to go away, don't speak in that name, whatever else. And you are here to obey God. Now, here's what it says. And here's why the leaders were afraid. Because all the people glorified God for what was done. In other words, a demonstration of the power of God in a miraculous healing. Look at verse 22. For the man on whom this miracle of healing was performed was over 40 years old. That's important for us. Because when you look at these words here, this is it is a miracle, no question about that, and it's a healing, or you call it a, it's literally in the Greek, it's a sign. It's from the word sign. It was a God was, and that's part of what the healings did when Jesus came. Signs. They pointed when Jesus heals, or in the New Testament when healing is done. When that kind of direct, total healing, it should glorify Jesus, point to Jesus. It is so complete, so powerful, so miraculous that nobody can deny it. That's part of the problem of those engaged in the cult and the power structure and in their self-exaltation. They couldn't handle this. So I'm telling you today that when we're going to read the prayer here pretty soon in the next audio anyway, audio 49, and look over this as a foundational example for our lives, a foundational example for the body of Christ. And I'm going to tell you right now, if churches across the board, your church, your prayer group, and even in our lives, if we recognize the dumbing down and the unbelievable lack of prayer and power, and see this. And see a church turn into, hey, you know, we've gathered together in his name, his presence is here, and we have worshiped his beautiful, awesome presence. We're loving it. We're having great joy. God's power is here. Now we're moving into massive intercession. We're praying for the lost and praying for the city and praying for a revival and praying for the other churches. And we're praying for God to stretch out his hand and heal and grant sign and wonder and miracle. And we're also praying against the threats. Praying against the enemy, praying against abortion, praying against human trafficking, praying against obstacles and all the rest. So the church gathered like that. I'm going to tell you right now, I believe with every ounce of my being, we'll see miracles. We'll see signs. Jesus, I want to say as loud and clearly as possible, he is the exact same today, operative in the exact same way. Remember Mark 16:20? You go back to that sometime and you look again. Mark 16:20. What do you have there in Mark 16:20? You have that same picture, that testimony. That testimony will be yours. That testimony will be yours when you're stepping out in obedience. And you may have church denominations and church structures that say, no, we don't believe in any of this. No, we don't believe in miracles. No, we don't. You know what? I have to reject that. I have to rebuke that. I have to walk away from that. Now, I'm going to say again, there are the powerful, massive, astounding miracles and signs and wonders. You know what they do? They glorify Jesus. They glorify God. They help get people saved. They help put down the obstacles and the threats. They help to expose that. They help to put down the enemy himself. And they demonstrate such, you know, so the word of God, proclamation, signs and wonders can come with it. Healing can come with that. And that's the norm. That's the norm. It really is. So when I read in Mark 16 in verse 20, this is the experience that we should all be having. Then they, the disciples, us, believers, went forth and preached everywhere. They were evangelizing everywhere. Then listen to this. The Lord working with them. Jesus said in the Great Commission, Matthew 28, I am with you always to the end of the age. So in evangelizing family, the neighborhoods, the cities, the world, in going to be a soul winner, the Lord is going to work with you. There's going to be that experiential reality of a living Savior being with you as he promised. Those were not words. He's not here as a hologram. He's here literally, Jesus in me, Christ in you, the hope of glory. But he's also with us. With. And so I read this right here, and this is the testimony. I believe anybody that becomes a spirit-filled, powerful believer in Jesus, that becomes a powerful, effective prayer warrior and soul winner and servant of God, that they're going to see not only many come to Jesus, they're going to see people get healed. They're going to see people get delivered. They're going to see in the context at times miracles and signs and wonders and even extraordinary things. And rightfully so, right in the midst of threatening, right in the midst of opposition. So the word of God and the power of God for any believer should be operative and not exclusive, you know, not separated, but obviously together. Verse 20, Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, theme verse for all of us, burn this into our hearts. Then they went forth and preached everywhere. That was evangelizing, preaching that gospel, pouring it out. The Lord was working, operative with them, supernaturally operative with them, confirming the word through the accompanying signs. You see that? That's the norm. That's normal Christianity. So when you read this again, verse 21 on down, when they had further threatened them, this is again the people in power that rejected God, rejected Christ, who are we going to listen to? They let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people. For all those people were glorifying God. Real signs, real wonders, real healings that come directly from God by God's power in Jesus' name lead people to God, lead people to glorify God. It helps shut the mouths of the anti-God, anti-Christ, you know, threateners out there. That's why we need to pray. I pray that God grants everything he has in this day, in this hour. I pray that God brings greater revivals than anything we've ever read, greater numbers of people coming to Jesus than we've ever seen in our lives. Why do I do that? He's not willing that anybody perish. There's now about close to 8 billion people out there. Jesus died for all of them, and we're to go to every one, to the highways and byways, to every creature. And so I believe in obedience to Jesus. His power is just the natural, I mean, clothed in power and his inseparable living presence and signs and wonders. And at times in the book of Acts, God sent angels. He did that in response to prayer. Mary's household was praying, and he sent an angel. You might be praying today, and you didn't even know, and they didn't know. God might send an angel to take care of the answer. He may stretch forth his hand that we're going to read about here in the next audio. I want to encourage you today that he is this great Savior. This great Savior is glorified by signs and wonders and miracles and healings. And we need to pray for them all. We need to realize that God's going to do them through our lives. That's what believers in Jesus are all about. Again, you can go to Galatians. How do we receive the Spirit of God or see miracles? By believing what we heard. Believing Jesus, believing the gospel, believing the word of God. So I'm saying that we must renounce any faulty, fake theologies, anything that suppresses or nullifies the word of God, any kind of systems that would tell us that God doesn't do this today. Well, that would be a lie. Doesn't do it for them. They don't believe. Obviously, we read in the gospels also, Jesus could do very little miracles among them. Because of their unbelief. When you see the word of God, you see the promises of God. I mean, I'm thinking just ask, receive, seek, find, knock, the doors get open. That's huge. I'm looking at an incredible promise that I love deeply. Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him who's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, beyond what we ask or even imagine. I've long given up trying to figure out how God can answer. I don't want my faith to be reduced to my puny ability. God is so beyond us. God is so big. I don't have to explain to God how he can do things. You ever have somebody explain how to do something or show you how to do it? I don't need to show God how to answer a prayer. It would be just so puny. God is omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent. God is so beyond us, we read in Romans 11. His ways are beyond tracing out. You can't figure this out. Miracles are beyond your calculation. Believing God is what pleases him. Hebrews 11:6, right? It's impossible to please God without faith. Those who come to him must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who earnestly seek him. So I'm going to tell you right now, in this development, in this training, and all that you're going through, and you becoming, you know, powerful in your walk, deep in your walk, joyful in your walk, in word and in power and in experience of the Lord, and as you begin to pray like never, based on those, if you believe the promises, you're going to pray. If you believe those promises, you're going to pray. And if pastors and leaders believe what God says and the Word of God teaches, and they really have, listen, when you experience the power, the fullness of God, if you understand what a Spirit-filled life is, you don't want carnality. You don't want to grieve the Spirit. You don't want to quench the Spirit. And I want to say the same when it comes to all ministry. The reason why it seems the church is so ineffective or has no effect in much of the world and hedonistic in so many places. How could it be that a city of 75,000 can have 150 churches and have basically seemingly, God knows, but you know, seemingly no effect? So I believe when every time we go out, every time our teams go out, every time I would go out, we're going out to unleash this astounding, unprecedented, incredible gospel of Jesus. We're clothed in power. We can count on the Spirit of God to guide and lead. And God say, go here, go there, go that direction. As we're doing in obedience, and we can pray the same way this chapter. Lord God, stretch out your hands now today. Save people, heal people, deliver people, bring sign, wonder, and miracle. Destroy the enemy's work. Stretch out your hand and then go. And I'm going to tell you right now, when you see the same thing we see in Scripture, the same Jesus, the same Holy Spirit, the same salvation, the same miracles, the same wonders, the same giftings, when it's all done that way, we stand astounded. We stand, as the people on this planet, the most supernaturally enhanced, backed, and empowered. The church gathering should be the most incredible place. And I'm going to tell you right now, I believe churches should be able to be celebrating that miracles occurred, that signs and wonders occurred, that people got healed just like in Scripture, totally, completely, miraculously, and that God has done astounding things. You know why? He's here. I want you to think about this. Did you know that signs and wonders and miracles and extraordinary works of God glorify Jesus? They glorify him. They confirm and exalt the Word of God. They help get people saved. They help shut the mouths of the opposers. They bring destruction to Satan's works. We're going to see that in the book of Acts. So I encourage you today, just a couple of verses here, verse 21 and verse 22, that a miracle, a person so totally healed, is something that those who don't know and reject God in Christ and stand in opposition to the evangelization and so forth, they couldn't handle it. And all they can do is make threats. Paul did that. We'll read about later, standing there holding clothes, watching Stephen get martyred. And later, Jesus brings him to his knees. Yeah, I want you to know this great, astounding Savior dwells in you, lives in you inseparably, unbroken, unceasing. And we're to go boldly before that throne of grace. And if you believe the promises in prayer, then you're going to go to prayer. If you know the Spirit of God is in and on you, the Spirit of prayer and supplication guiding you, directing you, who wouldn't want to pray? Who wouldn't want to spend time in the presence? That's where the experience, that's where we grow in maturity. We do the Word. We obey the Word. We experience the Word. It leads us in that experiential walk with Jesus. And then we see people powerfully saved, many people saved. Then we can be part of churches that God's power, God is all over the place. That's the kind of church I want to go to, pastors. I want to go to a church where God is operative and he's all over the place. and the word and the preaching and the giftings and the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit and prayers and saving and healing and delivering, and all of that's going on in a service. That sure beats the modern day 50-minute kind of a boring thing. See, there's a lot of believers, they know that the church is kind of like Sardis, once alive, that's the normal, but became dead, that's the subnormal, because they quit doing the works of Jesus, which involves the healing and the signs and the wonders in the context of the central context of saving lives, the salvation of souls. Father, I pray that you bless the listeners and those writing the notes, and just pour out your Spirit and guide them to step out, in regardless of anybody around them, in obedience to the Word of God, to the glory of Jesus, and to the great design. You've designed us as your workmanship designed us in Jesus to do the works of Jesus. And so here we are, Lord. Bless our listeners. Just pour out your Spirit. Just move in their lives. And I pray today, this is the day the Lord has made. He's given us today. God, stretch out your hands in the most incredible ways, the ways you love to do it. We know that praying for the lost, you delight in this. And we pray for all our family and friends around us to be saved. We pray that you use our lives. We're going to go out to be soul winners and to win people to Jesus. We pray, God, stretch out your hands ahead of us to heal people, to deliver the demonized, to strengthen people, to bring giftings to bear in the lives of people, a word of knowledge or a discerning of spirit and healings. God, we ask you to begin here and now to bring the greatest revivals in all of history, to begin to ignite them right now in the midst of all the darkness. In Jesus' name, Father, I will not let darkness define me. I will not let darkness define the power and mission of the church. I will not let the darkness tell me what God will and won't do. I reject that. I come to your word. I come to the examples that I'm reading right here, and I'm launching. Thank you that you are the same today, every single day, counting you as the same every single day. And I pray you bless the listener right now. And I pray the listener in Jesus, my brother and sister in Christ, will win souls, will cast out demons, will see people healed, will see a sign, wonder, will glorify and be a part, maybe even help to ignite some of the greatest advances in the kingdom of God. Book of Acts, chapter 4. We'll see you in the next audio.